Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 9th. Joining us this morning is the new, can we say freshly minted?
Still interim.
Oh, really? They haven't given you the real title yet?
It's sort of a trial run, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're on probation. County Chief Probation Officer, Sean Brenneman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Well, that's almost like too cute.
Double super secret probation.
Yeah. Where's Belushi when you need him? Oh, let's see if we can find there is an interesting one here. We're almost at the end of the A's in our little book here of why do they say that. Auld Lang Syne. Where do we get that expression? Auld Lang Syne.
I don't know. Is it Latin?
Well, it's not English. That's true. It's a Scottish phrase.
Okay.
That literally means old long since. In other words, the olden times. The song, Auld Lang Syne, though usually attributed to Robert Burns, was not comprised by him. He heard an old man singing it and took it down. The author and composer are entirely unknown. That's kind of cool. And it's almost the end of the A's. So I suppose sometime in the next 2 months I'll start looking for another book just because it'll probably take me 3 or 4 years to find one.
You can go more random, skip into the middle letters.
Oh, you're not. All right. Smart guy. Let's see. Oh, no, they've got quizzes at the back. That's not fair at all. At all. Okay.
I didn't know there was going to be a pop quiz.
No. Oh, and the last word is zest. Okay. But we'll worry about that one later. So you're almost the new guy running
acting
probation.
Acting as a new guy.
Yes. Yeah, don't screw up your lines, man. What is the status of county probation?
County probation's doing pretty good. We've had some changes, obviously. Chief Damiano retired, and we have hired a bunch of promising new staff, so we have a lot of young officers out in the community. We supervise about 1,350 people on adult supervision. We have about 100 youth under our supervision. We also are writing pre-sentence reports, about 100 a month. So those pre-sentence reports are prior to sentence. The court sends over a defendant to the probation department. We write up their summary of their offense, their psychosocial history, and we contact the victim and get the impact of what the crime had on them, and we put it all together and we make a sentence recommendation to the court. So we are
So you're involved in the recommendation component.
Yeah, we're basically the independent court investigators, so we serve in that role to the court, and then we do the same thing in juvenile for juvenile delinquency cases.
How, I mean, I know juveniles are treated differently, and I think for just reasons also. But one of the things with that protection is that nobody really knows outside of the criminal justice system what that really is. You know, how many, how bad, what the whole dynamics of that. If you could go on a 1-2-3 list, surprises Papstein would have knowing something about the juveniles and the justice system in Humboldt County, what would those top three things be?
I think the first thing is that the delinquency system is a knife with two ends. So what I mean by that is the farther someone goes into the system, the worse their outcome tends to be. And sometimes that's necessary, but a lot of children are better off if they are diverted from the criminal justice system. So a lot of people tend to think, this kid got picked up for some petty theft, or you know, he did some shoplifting, he should go to juvenile hall and learn a lesson. What the data tells us and what experience tells us is that is actually a worse outcome for that kid in the long run. If you instead of you divert them out to services, maybe meet with a probation officer once and sort of talk about it, that's enough of a consequence that we will divert most kids out of the system and they don't come back.
That's cool.
Yeah, what we found, we were doing that earlier in the 90s, and what you'd find is a lot of kids, once they get in the system, it was kind of like tar, they never could get it off, and turns out if you hang out in juvenile hall, the people you're hanging out with are not as good as you're hanging out in your school.
The lessons are learned.
Yes.
But they're not positive lessons.
Yeah, yeah. We always talk about peer group being really important, so you want to make sure you have them in the appropriate peer group.
Send some to church?
That would be a good thing.
Kind
I
of
mean,
thing.
if you yeah. any positive activity or positive pro-social activity that they can find in the community, they're going to have better outcomes. So you got to be really careful about who you bring into the delinquency system. The other thing is that we try to address the whole family. So if a teenager gets in trouble, it's not just the teenager, or the youth. It's the entire family has a stake in the outcome of that case. So juvenile probation officers are working with the entire family system, and I think that has made positive dividends.
Is that an eye-opener for the family, for the kid, first time that, oh, it's not just me, but now it's everybody?
Well, usually the family has been dealing with this situation for a long time, so they're probably pretty fed up sometimes. So they might be, you know, they might be saying, you know, I don't know, my child's out of control, or my child's having these issues. But it's hard to sit down and take a moment and say, what's happening in our family? How long have these issues been going on? Are they just manifesting now in a different way?
It's a we issue, not a him issue.
Yes, and that's always issue. A more difficult yeah. conversation. It's always easy to say, that is the problem over there, as opposed to, hey, I have a stake in this problem.
Recognition by most families that it's a we problem?
Eventually, for sure. I mean, most families want their child to do well. Everybody wants their child to do well. They love their children. So, yes, there's that recognition that they want to help. Sometimes it's hard to hear maybe what your contribution is, or put that cat back in the box or something. That's not the phrase.
Yeah, we'll work on that one when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sean Brenneman, interim.
Interim.
County Chief
Probation.
Okay, I like that one. If we can go with that one, I'm set for the day. Oh, boy. So, Sean, we got two of those three surprises of people who aren't involved and are, I guess, we're probably just unaware of the criminal juvenile division. Mm-hmm. Family is involved,
mm-hmm.
not just the individual, which is kind of cool. And then I think everybody kind of could figure out on our own at some point. Yeah, deal with it early when it's a small problem. Don't let it blow up into a big problem, because it's so much more difficult to deal with at that point. Nip it in the bud, so to speak.
So the kids that are left in this, that are in the delinquency system now, have a lot of issues. I think you'd be really surprised about the breadth and the scope of them.
And depth.
So they, most of them will have experience or interaction with the child welfare system. So there's been a lot of talk in our community regarding adverse childhood experiences, and they have them in spades. So they will have a lot of those markers, and you can sort of see how their family system and their life progressed to where they got. There's a lot of mental illness and substance abuse in that group. So they have a lot of challenges, and they need a lot of resources to make them whole again, or whole ever. So
that's what I was going to ask. Are they able to come back to 100%?
Well, it's not fair to ask that about a child, probably because they're still growing into who they're going to be. So what we are trying to do is make them the healthiest, best version of who they can be from where they are right now.
But if the role models have been into substance abuse, have been into physical abuse, have been into narcissistic activities.
Yeah.
How's that for a fancy word, huh?
That is very fancy.
All right. Hey.
Are you going to drop solipsism on me next? Because that
What? Isn't that a tablet you put in the water and it fizzes up?
Kinda.
Yeah. Oh. If that's all they know is their norms,
mm-hmm.
How do you redefine norm? I mean, that's tough.
So you build resiliency, right? So what that means is they're teenagers. It's not like they have no concept of who they are and where they want to. They might not know where they want to go, but what you need to do is that you need to make connections in the community. They need to find one positive person. They need to find someone that they can look up to, that they can connect with. They need to see a pathway out of where they are to where they want to be. And the more opportunities you can have for them to connect with people that are positive and pro-social in the community, the better off those children are going to have as a way of outcomes. Right?
So they'll kind of become the primary reference rather than mom and or dad or whoever?
Yeah, their family are always going to be in their life, but how do you build boundaries and understand the context of, yeah, that's how my family is, but that's not necessarily the only way to be?
So they can overcome.
Yeah, so absolutely. People do overcome. And so you can see things like, oh, my parents are pretty messed up, but there's this person at church that, you know, he seems to have a job and, you know, he always takes time for me, blah, 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 blah. Maybe he will give me a part-time job and maybe I connect with that person. And so I have someone that I can look up and say, hey, this person is able to pay their mortgage and they have a nice truck and they're doing the things they need to do and to take care of their family. That's something I can understand and maybe look up to and maybe have a conversation with that person about how you'd go about doing that.
One, so you just look to achieve.
You see opportunities and possibilities in your life greater than what is around you in your immediate family. So that's what we really hope for people to do with resiliency. And that's true for adults, too.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's not age specific.
No.
So groups like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Club, things of that nature, is that kind of the foundational cornerstones of what those groups and others like them can provide to these young folks?
Sure. What I would say is our community needs more ways for youth to connect to positive adults in the community and positive people in the community, right? So it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Maybe Big Brothers, Big Sisters is a good fit for one kid, but the other one, that's not for them. And so maybe it's...
It could be like sports or theater or music.
It might be a coach
that
you have in Little League. It might be a teacher you really connect with. Like you say, it might be you're getting to theater. Whatever it is, they're just the more opportunities there are, the more pathways there are in our community for kids to make connections, the better outcomes there are going to be for all of them.
I would suspect that if a kid is coming from that kind of a background, they're not going to be the most outgoing of sorts. The initial contact may need to be an outreach also.
One,
is that fair or not?
One size doesn't fit all, so you don't want to make too broad characterizations, but...
you've got experience. You know the tendencies.
A lot of them, I would say, have a lot of defensive mechanisms built up. So they've been betrayed by various relationships in their life. So they're going to have a lot of initial hostility, and you have to be patient to sort of get past that so they can trust you. They're going to
have hesitation, certainly.
For sure. So some withdraw, some express it with anger, some make a bunch of superficial relationships. So, you know, they each try to cope in their different way, but really it comes down to having faith and trust in them and giving them the time to sort of work their way through it. And so remembering their kids.
We
try to treat them like little adults and they're not.
That would, I think, probably be the biggest challenge for a lot of folks, unless you have kids right now going through the house, is you're projecting yourself into that scenario, not necessarily your kids or your grandkids.
Right. Well, I've explained to you all the situations. Here are the long-term consequences, and here's the decision you can make. And meanwhile, this kid is making decisions right in the moment.
And swirling, the emotional whirlwinds, yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sean Brenneman from, okay, on probation as the chief probation officer for the county of Humboldt. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese, and by Redeck. Sean, what is, I mean, the big thing now that most of us are going to be focusing on is the new building, because it's a tangible. It's something that's different. I think a lot of us, as members of the community, I need to put that phrase in, have toured the existing facility at one time or another.
Toured?
Yeah. Got the tour. Or this is where these people are. This is what we do here. This is, and you get to leave within the hour of showing up. You know, it's not for other reasons. Okay. Now we see the new coming up. The new building rising up out of, you know, et cetera, et cetera. What's that going to do? What's that going to look like?
So the old juvenile hall was built in 1970, or actually opened in 1970. It's been run 24 hours a day ever since. So it's...
Had a good run?
It's had a good run. Things are breaking down. I think more importantly, the way it was designed, it has two long, dark hallways. It has a multi-level community space, so it really limits what you can do with the youth, and it also is dangerous for staff and the kids, right? So it's hard to see them all. It's hard to keep track of what's going down the dark hallways.
Kind of designed for a different era?
Designed for a different era, so we have to have people walk all the way down to the end, but you can only see one door, you know, a couple doors at a time. The new facility is going to be built around a sort of a there's going to be a central control room, and then all the rooms are going to be built around it in a square, so they'll be able to see every single room from the control room.
More like an Alcatraz style?
No.
Obviously different degrees, but a central, and you can just kind of see around. Yeah.
But the difference really is that juvenile halls are different from jails, and we really try to make it as much of a normalized environment as possible. So we really try to get the kids out of the room as much as possible. We try to have them do as many activities as possible. Some of them are there because they did some really horrific things, but some of them are there because, you know, they have a drug issue and their parents are not able to take them back. So
you're kind of like a receiving station.
We're responsible for the delinquent youth in the community. So if they don't have a safe place to stay and we're trying to figure out where they're going to stay, they have to come in, and the only place they can go is juvenile hall. So
Oh, really? Okay, so you're almost like a residential hall for some.
Well, we're trying to make it as normed as possible. So they're still going to school inside there. You know, we're trying to make communal food times, and we're trying to have them out of the room so they can interact and socialize. You really want them to not get institutionalized as much as possible, right? So I think the new hall...
So there's a subpopulation then within... I think most of us either think that it's one extreme... Or the other very limited extreme with the population. You really have the gamut?
Well, we really try not to bring kids in. So there's, like right now, there's only 10 kids in the hall, and there's another 9 or so in our regional facility, which is the treatment program that's behind the regional, the juvenile hall. So it's a small community, and we want to make sure that they have enough activities to do and enough groups and sessions for them to make it some sort of positive experience while they're there. I mean, no one wants to be in juvenile hall, but it doesn't have to be just you sitting there waiting to get out.
So the staff,
yes. What
how do you guys define success?
For what? For juveniles?
For juveniles, and then we were going to move into the larger population that you guys work with, but with the so juveniles, how do you define
ultimately
it?
Ultimately, it becomes recidivism and some other markers like, are they going back into school? Are they completing their high school diploma? Are they able to transition successfully to adulthood? It's kind of difficult because a lot of times you're planting seeds. So maybe you send them to a independent living skill class where they learn something about checkbooks, right? They don't get a checking account, but maybe 5 years after they get off probation, they're able to sort of, hey, oh yeah, I remember what that was about. This makes sense to me.
So there is some black and white standards.
It's really about
some
recidivism.
Other life skills.
It's really about recidivism. Do they commit new crimes going forward? I mean, that's how we really measure success. But with kids, you're looking at them. Are they becoming the best person they possibly can be from where they're at? Are we making progress that direction?
Maximizing their opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of difficult in probation because if you think about any sort of behavior you want to change in your life, you're not just going to say on day one, I'm going to change my behavior, and from then on, you're not going to repeat it all.
Talk to the cigarette smoker.
Yeah.
or the guy who drinks a little too much. Yeah, it doesn't happen.
So you want to see farther periods between episodes. You want to see it sort of like a ripple in the pond, right? You throw a rock in and immediately there's more ripples, but as time goes on, it should all smooth out. And that's
the analogy I use for radio waves too. So if they're listening to the radio,
okay,
they're going to have a positive outcome in life. I like the way you think. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sean Brenneman. Sean, the adult probation folks that you have to work with or that you get the opportunity to work with.
I like to think of it as the opportunity.
Kind of figure that's why you're doing what you're doing, and I'm not. What are some of the things that get you excited about the future of adult probation in Humboldt County? Let's say project out 5 years.
I think when I first started probation, we were much more of a monitoring agency. So we would tell people, here are your orders of probation. You need to follow them. And if you don't, here are the consequences that will likely occur to you. And over the last 20 years in the business, I think we've learned a lot about how to rehabilitate people. So we have officers now trained to do cognitive behavioral restructuring with people to really—
Whoa, slow down, big boy.
So we sit down and talk to people about their belief systems, their thought patterns, their negative peer associations, and how to go about changing those things so that they don't commit crimes in the future, and how to build intrinsic motivation to change your life.
Thanks.
So I think just all those things have really made our job a lot more challenging. But
so almost more of a mentor than a monitor.
Both things, right? You want to put pressure on them to not be comfortable where they're at in their life, and then you want to show them pathways out of where they are to where they could be. And so those opportunities are, I think, really exciting in our field because we get to see people change.
Is it working?
People change all the time. We only hear about the people that go back who get in trouble on probation. If you see somebody's full name in the Lost Coast Outpost or the Time Standard, that person probably didn't have a great experience on probation, but you never see the people who, hey, they got a job and they have tested their kids back, and you see them at the school event and they just sort of nodding and say, hey, I've got a job, I'm doing really good. That's the stuff we get to see, and that's the part that's really rewarding.
I would think that those nonverbals, I mean, not a big deal, thanks.
Yeah.
That's enough to float you for a week or two.
Barely recognize you look so good, and your life is back together again, and that's what we could hope for.
Percentages, roughly? A quarter, a third?
So people on formal probation, and we say successful if they get off probation without being revoked, so they don't get sent to prison or they get their sentence imposed. So about 60% of them are successful in that regard. That's never to say they haven't had a couple of blips along the way, but they made it through.
But over half.
Yeah. Some populations it's different. Mandatory supervision people don't have good levels of success. I don't know why that is. I think they've mostly served out most of their time. It can be And sometimes it's really hard to sort of say that. Like, we go back to those episodes, right? Are you sober for a year and a half and then you relapse? Is that a successful period of supervision or not? Well, we had that year and a half of sobriety. There is some value to that. So it gets really complicated to try to say, did this person completely change their life and now have no troubles whatsoever, or they are in that spectrum?
That scenario, somebody's, let's use my terminology, not your clinical, has their act together for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. Has a bad weekend. Now, is the norm that has been set for them, or their personal standard, is it the 18 months? Or is it the period preceding? Have they been able to reset themselves? And it's like, oh no, okay. And they get back on for the next period of time and they don't fall into that trap?
It's really about how they think about it, right? So if you have let's say you were sober for a year and a half and then you go to a party and you drink and you go crazy. How you deal with that, how you reach out to your supports, how you address that in yourself internally and externally will really depend on whether that is just a blip in the road or a 180-degree turn.
Case by case, I believe, is what the fancy guys say. Thanks for coming by, Sean.
All right.
See you, everybody, tomorrow.